Hey, what's up, guys? Drew here, thatanxietyguy.com. Today, we're going to talk about the topic of how other people in our lives, our significant others, our friends and our families, how they can get involved, how they can understand what's going on with us, and how they can help. But this probably isn't the video that you think it's going to be. So this isn't a go grab your husband or wife and sit them down and watch this with you. I'm not going to tell them what they should do when you have a panic attack. I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff. It's going to be something that you probably don't expect, but I feel really strongly about this, and I think it's something that we all need to hear. So this video was prompted by a couple of posts in the Facebook discussion group, and if you're not in the group, I will link it in the video description. If you're on YouTube and if you're listening as a podcast, go to my website, thatanxietyguy.com. I'll have a link there. You should join the group. It's a good bunch of people. So earlier in the week, we had a couple of posts in the group where people were specifically talking about how their anxiety problems are impacting their relationships with people close to them. One person was talking about their mom. I think another person was talking about, I think, their relationship with their entire family, kind of, you know, immediate family. And the topic came up, but people generally ask, they did this week, but I get the question all the time, like, how come nobody understands? What can I do to get them to understand? And I think the first thing I'm going to say, which may ruffle some feathers, but it needs to be said, is you need to really kind of define what you mean when you say that you want your friends and your family to understand. Do you want them to actually understand what you're going through? Or are you looking for them to be okay with what you're going through? There's a big difference, and it's important that you really kind of look at yourself and ask yourself that question. What do I really want from my husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it happens to be, mom, dad? What do you want from these people? If you're just looking for them to be sympathetic and sort of understand what's going on, that's one thing. But if you're looking for them to be okay with why you don't go to family functions or why you cancel lunch dates or why you can't go to a job interview or why you dropped out of school or whatever the case may be, if you are looking for them to be okay with the things that you're doing to try and avoid your anxiety and get around the fear, that's probably not all right. You're going to wind up continuing to strain that relationship. So let me tell you what I think we should be focusing on when it comes to our friends and our families. We should not be looking for them to accommodate us. We should not be looking for them to even necessarily help us. You know, if you're having a hard time because you can't get out of the house and drive by yourself, it's really not a realistic thing to expect that someone in your life should always be around to drive you where you need to be. If you're having a hard time being left alone at home, it's not realistic to expect that somebody in your life needs to always be by your side because you're afraid. So I think the first thing is you have to sit down in a quiet spot and be willing to accept responsibility for our own role in what's going on, because we are playing a role, and you might not want to hear that. And I don't mean to imply that somehow or other we are causing this or we're choosing this. I don't mean that at all. Nobody is choosing this. Trust me, I know that. But we are driving it ourselves, and we have to be responsible for that. So here's what I think the approach should be. And this is how you try to make things better with your friends and your family when your anxiety is at a point where it's limiting your life, where it's causing you to make lifestyle changes, and it's impacting them too. So if you have people close to you in your life that are just kind of out of patience with you, they're angry with you, they're disappointed with you, they're sort of not on board what's going on, here's what I think needs to happen. It needs to be a two-way discussion. So it's probably reasonable, because I've said this many times, that the fear that we experience is very real. There's nothing fake about the fear. So when you are in the midst of a panic attack, or one is coming on, or you're feeling anxious, or you're in a situation that makes you panic, that fear that you experience is every bit as real as it would be as if somebody held a loaded gun to you, or put a knife to your throat, or if you were dangling off the edge of the Grand Canyon, you know, by your fingertips. So the fear is real. And I think it's okay, it's reasonable for us to expect our loved ones and our friends and our family to accept that we are experiencing very real fear. Like, they should be capable of understanding that and having a little bit of empathy that fear is actually real. So I can tell you what I did. I had to literally sit with my family, the people closest to me, when I was going through all of this and on my journey to get past anxiety issues. I literally had to sit and say, look, I have to tell you the reason why I'm having trouble doing these certain things, going to the office, going out, being alone, blah, 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 is that I am afraid. And it was really embarrassing, and it felt really weak to have to say that. But yes, this is fear. I'm experiencing fear. It's every bit as real as it would you would feel if you were, you know, trapped on the railroad tracks and the train is coming. You'd be terrified. This is, I feel that. So it's okay to try and explain to the people closest to you that you are experiencing actual real fear, and they'll probably get that. But then it goes off the rails, and here's how you have to address that. So after having said that, like, I need you to understand that I'm really afraid. I'm very afraid. I'm as afraid as you can be. That's fine. But the next statement, really now the burden is on us. We have to say, however, I understand that my fear is irrational and it's actually not driven by any real underlying danger. So I know that I'm not actually in danger. I don't really have a reason to be afraid, but I am afraid. So this is why I am doing the things that I'm doing. I'm doing them because of fear, but I realize that there's nothing really under that fear. And I'd like to work on that. I need to work on facing that fear and uncovering it as being baseless. And I'm going to work on that. And I'm asking for your support and your encouragement and that sort of thing. So what you want to do is set up a situation where you've explained to them and that they understand that you are really feeling fear. But also that you don't, explaining to them, taking responsibility of saying, but I don't want it to be this way. And I understand that there's no actual basis for the fear, and I'm going to work on that. So I think it's really important when you want to try and mend those fences and ease the strain that anxiety has put on your relationships, you kind of have to be in a position where you're taking responsibility for the fact that there is no real danger that you're in. And you have to be able to tell those people that I have accepted this, and now I am ready to work on this. And you have to actually work on it. So there's a difference between just saying, I need you to understand that I'm really afraid, and that's it. And that's why I won't go shopping, and that's why I can't pick up the kids from school, or whatever it is in your life. That's sort of open-ended, and you're essentially asking this person to say, to go on that journey with you that says, and I might be like this forever. I don't know. It's okay to say, right now these things are struggles for me, but I will accept my role in the struggle. I understand that it's just bad cognitive habits that are creating this for me, and I need to learn to face the fear. I can unlearn these habits. I can get past it. I can get better, and I want to, and I will. Just please understand that when I am afraid, I am truly afraid, and I need your support as I go through this. So I think it's super important. You have to, if you're going to try and mend those fences, like I said, you want to ease that strain. You kind of have to get to the point where you're willing to accept the response, your responsibility for making it, part your part in this. And you also have to truly be ready to start making that journey and do the work. So I will tell you that in my situation, it made it much easier, I believe, on the people closest to me when they could see me actually doing the work. So I was able to say, like, look, I'm terrified of being home alone, which is horribly embarrassing. It made me feel really weak to say that. But I'm afraid to be home alone, but I'm going to work on that. And then I actually did the work, and they could see me doing it. So it became a lot easier for them to have patience with me. And not only for them to be patient with me when I wouldn't want to go out to dinner or wouldn't want to take the kids to the mall or whatever it was. It was a lot easier for my family to have patience with me when they could see me getting up in the morning, getting in the car, practicing, getting out of the house, expanding my circle. And they could see that I was able to start to do more and more things, and I was willing to tackle more and more things. And so their patience became almost infinite with me. And I think they also, I told them flat out, like, I don't need you to tell me that I'm doing something wrong. I know I'm doing something wrong. But what I need you to do is cheer me on and encourage me. So, you know, it makes a whole lot of difference. Imagine your husband, for instance, if, you know, just to use an example, you're having a really difficult time, you know, dealing with your kids because you can't pick them up from school, or you won't take them shopping, or you can't go to their events, or you're having a problem with that. You know, imagine your husband being able to come up to you and say, you know, I understand that this is really a big struggle for you, and you know, whatever I can do to help you get past it, I will do. And to be able to pat you on the back and say, hey, I see that you actually got in the car and drove to the school today. I know you didn't get out of the car. I know you didn't pick up the kids, but I see that you're doing the work. There's a huge different thing. They become cheerleaders. They support you. They encourage you. They acknowledge the fear, but they also root you on to get past the fear because they understand. I'll tell you right now, the reason why our families and friends don't understand is because they know that you're not in any danger. So I've used this analogy many times. If you're a parent and you have little children at some point they're all afraid to do something, right? They're afraid to go to bed, they're afraid to go somewhere, whatever. They make up dangers in their own head, as children are wont to do. It's normal. And as parents, we have empathy. We understand that they are really afraid. We can sympathize with them. We could try and comfort them. We can, but then we have to try and coach them through unmasking that fear. Like, look, there really is no monster in your closet. Look, let me open the closet and show you. Let me put the light in here. Look, let daddy show you. Whatever it is. We empathize with our kids, we sympathize with them, we try to comfort them, but then we coach them through unmasking the fear. Like, there's no reason to be afraid, there really is no monster. Well, your friends and family understand that there is no monster under your bed, and that's why they don't understand. It's not because they're heartless and they lose patience with you, because they see you afraid to walk out the front door, but they know that you're in no danger when you walk out the front door, so that's why they are impatient. And I think it's important that when you accept that, and you say, I realize that I don't need to be afraid to go out the front door, but right now I am, and here's how I'm going to start to work on that, it's okay. And it becomes a lot easier. And I can't guarantee that the people in your life will get behind you on that. They still may be impatient. I can't guarantee that everybody is empathetic and sympathetic and supportive. But when you approach it that way, you have a much better chance of them becoming cheerleaders and encouragers and motivators and recognizing your achievements and not just being angry and frustrated with you because they don't understand what's going on. They'll begin to understand what's going on, and when they see you doing the work to get better, things begin to improve. That was my experience, and it appears to be a general experience that other people have told me they have shared. So to sum things up, when you want the people in your life to understand, you know, and when you say things like they don't understand how hard it is, they don't understand how difficult this would knock them to their knees. When you say things like that, what you're asking is, please be okay with this and please allow me to be this way and don't be angry at me for being this way. That's fine. Nobody wants you don't want people to be angry with you or be impatient with you, but you have to make sure that's not all you're asking. So I would say if you want people to start to understand and get behind you and get on board with what you're doing and where you are, you have to be willing to accept the responsibility for how you are making it that way, even though you don't want to. We are making it that way for ourselves. And you also have to be at a point where you are accepting that there's no real actual reason for me to be afraid to go out of the house. You have to accept that to be true. You have to acknowledge it to them, and you have to be ready to actually start doing the work to fix it. So I think that's really important. It's not okay just to throw up your hands and say, no one understands, I want them to understand. You cannot ask your friends and your family and your loved ones to accommodate this situation open-ended with no end in sight. That's not realistic, and it's not fair to them. And I'm sorry that might not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear right now. It's not okay to ask them to do that. They really don't have to do that. This is not a physical disorder. This is, you did not lose a leg or an arm. You don't need a wheelchair or crutches, or you don't have cancer, thank God. You're not physically ill. This is a cognitive thing, and you can fix it. And it's important that you be able to show the people in your life that you understand what it is. You're asking for their empathy. You're asking for their encouragement, their support, their motivation. You're asking for cheerleaders in your life. You want them to acknowledge that it's difficult, because it is crazy hard to do this. It's a simple plan. It's hard to execute. So that's what you're asking for. So when you want to get into this topic, make sure that what you're asking for is acknowledgement, but not validation, right? So you want them to acknowledge how difficult this is, but not to validate your fear, because you can't validate this fear. There's really no reason to be afraid to go out of the house. You want acknowledgement, you want support, you want encouragement, you want cheerleaders, you want people who will celebrate your wins and let you put your head on their shoulder when you have a bit of a setback or a loss. That's what you're asking for. So be ready to ask for the right thing and be ready to accept the reality of the situation. Be ready to accept your role in making it better and be ready to actually do the work to get better. And that, I think, is how we address our impact, the impact of an anxiety disorder, panic disorder, agoraphobia, generalized anxiety, whatever it is. This is how we address the impact of these things on our close friends and family, the people that matter to us, that we love. So I know that this was probably not the video you were hoping that it would be, where you could sit your wife down and let her watch and say, look, this is what you're supposed to do to, you know, when I have a panic attack. That's not it. There's a ton of those out there. You could find them. I could make one of those, because I think there are things that our loved ones can do, specifically when we are experiencing panic and high anxiety, that have nothing to do with coddling us. So I could make that video one day. I guess if enough people want to see it, I can talk about that. But I know this is probably not what you were expecting, but I feel really strongly that this is actually the way to address this issue. So as always, what I'm going to say is thank you for watching or listening or whatever. And if you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. I'm supposed to ask you that. Hit the subscribe button. YouTube seems to really care a lot, so you would be doing me a favor if you subscribe to the channel. If you have questions or comments on YouTube, by all means, use the comment section. Ask questions. I'll try to answer them. Get on the Facebook group. You'll find me, Facebook, That Anxiety Guy. If you search for That Anxiety Guy on Facebook, you'll find me. You can like the page. I'm on Twitter as That Anxiety Guy. So whatever way you think you want to get in touch to ask questions or make comments, I'm open to all of it. I will do my best to answer everybody. And yeah, hopefully this has been helpful. I appreciate you guys coming by. I appreciate all your support. Thank you to those of you who do send me feedback on an almost regular basis. It does make me smile to know that I'm helping in some way. That's why I do this. I don't do it. It's not for money. It's not a business. So, you know, I do appreciate the really nice things that so many of you have said to me so often. And it does brighten my day, and I'm happy that I'm able to help in some way. So thanks for coming by. Thanks for the support. Ask questions or comments. Get involved in the Facebook group. It's good people there. And I'll see you in the next video. Keep moving forward.